From Advent Sunday to last Sunday, the church has been celebrating the wonderful works of God as they find their expression in the incarnation of Jesus Christ. So from Advent through to Pentecost, we have been celebrating the acts of God, what God does. Today is Trinity Sunday, and today we move from thinking about God's action to God's nature. For today, we celebrate the central doctrine of the Catholic faith, the doctrine of the Holy Trinity. The word doctrine comes from the Greek word doxa, which means glory. And there are many wonderful and glorious doctrines within Catholicism, but the most glorious of them all is this doctrine of the Holy Trinity. And the reason this doctrine is the central doctrine of our faith is stated in one sentence in the Catechism, when the Catechism writes, God freely wills to communicate the glory of his blessed life. Now catch that. God freely chooses to communicate, to interact with us about the nature of his blessed life. In other words, God wants you and me to understand the relationship that has existed from all of eternity between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I want to begin this morning by sharing a couple of analogies. The first is ancient, taken from Tertullian. The second is more recent, from Archbishop Fulton Sheen. So let's start with what Tertullian said many, many, many centuries ago about the Trinity. He described God the Father as a deep root, and God the Son as the shoot that breaks out from that root into the world. And the Holy Spirit, says Tertullian, spreads the beauty and the fragrance of God. The deep root, the shoot, the fragrance, and the beauty of God. Fulton Sheen spoke about God as being one, and he drew the analogy with that of water. What is the nature of water? It is H2O. Two hydrogen atoms, one oxygen atom in every molecule. But then Fulton Sheen asks, is it possible to have various relationships within this one nature? And he says, yes, it is. H2O can appear as a liquid. It can appear as steam. It can appear as ice. The nature of all three is identical, but their form is different. Just as in the sun, says Fulton Sheen, there is substance, there is light, and there is heat. Yet there is only one sun. Throughout the biblical story, God shows us his nature. And as we move from the Old Testament into the New Testament, the interplay between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is more fully revealed, so that we can indeed experience the roots of the Father's love, growing into the shoots of the incarnation of the Son of God, resulting in the beauty and fragrance of the Holy Spirit. So let me ask the question, what is the nature of God? And don't worry, we're not going to be here for 10 hours. We're going to turn to Exodus. And in that passage from Exodus, remember, this is after Exodus 32. Do you remember what happened there? That was the golden calf, where Aaron, it's such a funny line, he said, you know, all of the people gave me their gold, and out came this golden calf. It's just like we had nothing to do with it. But of course they did. But they had turned away from the holy God to worship idols. And then we do get some pretty hard stuff happening in the rest of 32 and 33, but here we are in chapter 34, and Moses gets up early in the morning. He has again the stone tablets. So God is calling them back into covenantal relationship with him. But then the most important part of this part of Exodus is God reveals his nature to Moses. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for the thousandth generation. This is the clearest expression of the nature of God in the Old Testament. This particular formula is used through the Pentateuch. It is used in the prophets. It is used in the Psalms. It is used in the Law and the Prophets. And it speaks to us of God's nature. And it says two things. First of all, his name, the Lord. This is the way that the Jewish people could say that most holy name that they were not to pronounce, that we find in Exodus chapter 3, where at the burning bush, the Lord appears to Moses, and Moses says, "What is your name?" And God says, "I am who I am." That's what the Lord means. And so here, particularly brought into focus, is the following. Here we learn something about the nature of the ever-present God. He is merciful. He is gracious. He is slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love to the point that he keeps that love to thousands of generations. I am who I am. And at the very heart of who I am, at the very heart of my nature, just as water is H2O, at the very heart of who God is merciful, steadfast love. Now, let's take this into the New Testament and turn to the first epistle of St. John, where he gives this beautiful three-word understanding of the nature of God. You've heard it your whole life long. God is love. It's not that God loves or God is about love. No, says St. John, God is love. That is his nature. That is the very essence, the core of who God is. Now, what do those who are in love do? They communicate. They make images of themselves. See how this plays out in creation. Tree after tree after tree, the seeds are dropped. And as they begin to grow, they make images of themselves. Or if you love hiking, go in the month of July to an alpine meadow, image after image after image after image of alpine wildflowers, like Indian paintbrushes. They are everywhere. Or as you're driving and you see one cow, two cows, 50 cows, 100 cows, 200 cows, one image after another, after another, after another. Or the communication that exists between people, particularly between a man and a woman, they begin to communicate. They begin to see in one another something that draws them into a relationship of love. And through that love, they choose to establish a covenant where they say, "I will marry you." And through that covenant, one of the expressions of this communication is conjugal love. They conceive and they bear images of themselves. And then think about how we human beings manage to communicate. We make images all the time. You listen to a piece of Mozart, you know that's by Mozart. You look at a statue by Michelangelo, you know that's by Michelangelo. You listen to Shakespeare play, you know this is by Shakespeare, Jane Austen, it doesn't matter, that it speaks to who they are. It is an image of themselves. Or even something in terms of a way we might make a particular recipe. No one makes it like Mom. Take this even further to the foundations and building blocks of the physical world. Think of the communication that goes on between cells and living organisms. Think of the protons and electrons that make up the atom. Now think of the planets, the galaxies, how they're drawn together. The moon has been held in its orbit for eons. The earth rotating around the sun. We see this remarkable interconnectedness, this communication that exists in all of creation. Why is this? Where does it come from? In the Creed, we declare, we believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. By saying this, we affirm that God is the ultimate cause of the being of things. And just as the creation speaks of his steadfast love, just as human relationships speak of this steadfast love, but only imperfectly. The relationship that exists between the nature of God, who is love, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, is perfect. When we have an understanding of this, when we see who God truly is, this is not some abstract theological formula. This gets to the very essence of what life is all about. Now, if I look at myself in the mirror, I can see a pretty good image of me, but it is just an imperfect image because that mirror is two dimensions, and I am in three dimensions. And everything that we've been talking about so far imperfectly mirrors God. In a way, it's all kind of a two-dimensional representation of who God is. And yet, God chose to produce the perfect, complete image of himself in the Son. The Son is perfect in that he is a perfect image and representation of the mind, will, power, simplicity, compassion, and love of the Father. In the Son, we see the incarnate expression of merciful, steadfast love. We see the very nature of God, who is love from eternity to eternity. In the book of Hebrews, there's this beautiful verse. Listen to this. Jesus reflects the glory of God and bears, this is the key part, the very stamp of his nature. He bears, not imperfectly, not somewhat, Hebrews says he bears the very stamp of the nature of God. Everything the Father is, so is the Son. This is why in our creed in a few minutes we're going to say that the Son is consubstantial with the Father. He shares completely in the Father's being. All images here below are reflections to a degree, but the Son is the perfection of the Father. And I love this idea that, again, Bishop Fulton Sheen said. He said, when the Son and the Father look at one another, they fall in love. And out of that love, they sigh. And the sigh that comes from the Father and the Son is the Holy Spirit. Isn't that beautiful? That idea of who God in his entirety, in his nature is. The Father giving rise to the Son. The Father and Son together giving rise to the Holy Spirit. God is love. And so the early father said, the Father is God the lover. The Son is the beloved. And the Holy Spirit is the shared love between them. The lover, the beloved, the shared love. This is why marriage for us as Catholics really matters between one man and one woman. Because it is the clearest human representation that we have of the Trinity. Lover, beloved, shared love. All of those echoes of communication, all of those things we have been thinking about in this world that we talked about earlier, mirror the Trinity. But as Bishop Robert Barron said in his homily for this Sunday, which I listened to because it's really good, he said, there has been a communication breakdown. Love has been interrupted. And this communication breakdown is what we call sin. But Bishop Barron said that God's love is white hot. I love that. It's white hot. It is so hot that it spills over into this world. And so we have the most famous of all Bible verses in our gospel for today. Here is the white hot love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. What does it mean to have eternal life? It means to share in the life of the Trinity. And that's why John says, those who turn to the Son have eternal life, and those who do not have eternal life. Because apart from that relationship with God, we cannot have eternal life, because eternal life is the Trinity. It is nothing other than that. It is sharing in that God is love. One day in heaven, we will come, we pray, to know this fully. But right now, all around us, there are reflections of the Trinitarian life. I've talked about some of them. But do you know what the greatest reflection of the Trinitarian life is supposed to be? It's supposed to be you and me. The word Christian means little anointed one. That's what the word means. We are little Christs. And as Jesus completely, fully reflected the image of the Father, you and I do this imperfectly. But we are to consistently, through the course of our earthly life, to pursue this. You lose something of the impact of it because we only had a couple of verses and it came right at the end of 2 Corinthians. But the Corinthian letters, Paul wrote two of them, the Corinthians were a really hard congregation to handle. They were always fighting with one another. They were always bickering with one another. They were always competing with one another. And it's very interesting that the passage we had today, this is the end of 2 Corinthians. And Paul makes a connection between what it is to be working towards reconciliation in relationships and the Trinity. Listen again to what he said. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. If we believe in the Trinity, if we understand that God is love, we understand by extension that the most important work that we can do in this world is the fundamental work of being reconciled, of working towards putting our relationships in order, agreeing with one another, living at peace, and knowing of that the God who is the God of love and peace. This is very hard to do. But it is what we are called to when we see who the Trinity is. So let me include with a word of encouragement. Be excited about the central doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church. Be excited by the reality that God is love, the lover, the beloved, and their shared love. Be excited that your life now and your life for eternity is all about sharing in the life of God. And pay attention to see how in every Mass, the beginning, the middle, and the end is infused with Trinitarian language. And so, beloved Christians, made in the image of Jesus Christ, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you.